How many of you are thankful for the amazing grace of God? Amen. We're beginning a new series today called Amazing Grace. And before we start, let me greet our campuses. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor here at Love and Truth North Campus. And I'm glad you're there. Whatever campus you're at today, whether you're in Ohio or Pastor Bob and you guys there in Craneville or whether you're in Tennessee, we welcome you this morning. We are glad that you are there. And we believe you've already had a moment in the presence of the Lord. And now we're going to go into His Word together. So would you grab your Bible, or maybe you've got the Word of God downloaded on your iPhone or whatever. Would you just take that in your hand? Let's hold it up. Let's make our confession together. And let's say this: this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. The church throughout its history has had confessions of faith we have made, and I believe that's a powerful one as we make it week in and week out before we go into the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm beginning a series today called Amazing Grace, and I want us to understand the grace of the Almighty God and what it does in our life. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this. Would you take your Bibles today and go to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 3 is going to be the foundational scripture for the entirety of this series. Proverbs chapter 3 says this: "My son," my daughter, okay, "do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Now, how many of you would like to have all of those blessings right there? Rest of you are weird. Right? "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now, watch what he says in verse 4. "Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And we're talking about amazing grace. And here's, as I begin to study for this series, what I found is that grace and favor, the two words, grace and favor, are used interchangeably throughout Scripture. In fact, you can almost, any place you see the word grace or any place you see the word favor, you can switch that to the other one and it's going to mean the same thing. In fact, one of the definitions that we always give about grace, when somebody asks you, well, what is grace? We always say unmerited favor, right? And so this whole aspect of favor, it comes out of the Greek word charis, which means it's a gift. In other words, it's given to us by God. When we begin to look at this, I begin to say, okay, well, what does favor mean? What does, if grace and favor are the same thing, then what does favor mean when I look at it in the Word of God and throughout what God's Word tells us? Well, here's just real quickly, let me give this to you. Favor means gaining approval, okay? In your life, when you gain approval, it also means acceptance or special benefits and blessing. Now, that's kind of a long definition. You don't have to worry about remembering it, okay? But that's what it means. So the more I dug into to this, I found a two-word definition that I love, okay? Says the same thing, but it does it in two words. How many of you like short things, right? I mean, you like things that be concise and to the point. And here's what favor means. Favor is demonstrated delight. Now, you didn't get excited. How many of you would like for somebody to demonstrate some delight on you? Right? Okay, in other words, it's a tangible thing. It's something that can be seen. It's something that's known in your life. And let me just help you today. If nobody else is doing this for you, God's doing it for you. God is demonstrating His delight on you today and letting you know that you are walking in His grace, you are walking in His favor. In fact, the Word of God lets us know that God loved us so much that He gave his only begotten son. That's his grace. That's his favor coming into my life, coming into your life, so that we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, move into everything that God has for us in our lives. Now, here's what we have to understand. When you are in the favor of the Almighty God, there's an evidence that's on you. In other words, there's an evidence that a person has the approval of God on them. Some of you say, well, that sounds like Old Testament. Well, let me give you a couple of New Testament scriptures. The Word of God says this, and you hear me talk about it a lot. It says that you are to be ready to give an answer to every person who asks of you of the hope that's in you. In other words, that people are going to look at your life, and there's going to be so much on you, good things, that people are going to come to you and say, what is different about you than is in my life? And so it's not walking around with a pocket full of tracks and knocking on somebody's door. It's genuinely people are coming to you because you're blessed. The Word of God also lets us know that when we understand this whole aspect of blessing and the grace of God, that the Bible says that it's God's good pleasure to give good gifts to his children. Now, I don't know about you, but I just determined years ago I was one of his kids. Amen. And I want to receive everything that he has for me. So this grace or this favor has a couple of interesting things. Let me give them to you real quickly. It's not in your notes, but just hang with me. The grace, first of all, means, or the favor, that I have access into the presence of God. Okay? In other words, I can come to God. That's part of the favor of God that's on your life. But not only is it access into the presence of God, it is also power that God gives to us once we come into his presence. So when you look at favor, don't always look at favor as getting something from God. Understand that when you get something from God, then the power of God is released through you, and the Word of God lets us know that we're to go in the world and make disciples and change people's lives, right? That's what we're called to do in the kingdom of God. Now, let me say something about favor, and then we're going to get, in fact, if you want to go to the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter, we're going to talk about Joseph today, okay? This week I'm going to talk about Joseph. Next week I'm going to talk about Esther, and then the next 2 weeks after that, I'm going to kind of drill down into how you bring favor from God into your life. But here's what I want you to understand. Favor can turn tragedy into triumph in a moment. All right? And we're going to see that in the life of Joseph. When you begin to study the life of Joseph, it's an interesting story. And let me just rehearse it with you if you don't remember it. Joseph is 17 years old when we first see him in Scripture. And his dad is spoiling him, okay? Let's just say it the way it is. His dad has picked him. He's the next to the youngest in the family. And his dad, how many of you know the older you get, the easier you are on the kids that come along? Don't do me this way, all right? Come on, you know that first kid, you wear them out. That second kid, you start, you know, the first kid, you know, the pacifier falls on the floor, you got to sterilize it, you got to put in hot water, you disinfect. By the third kid, it doesn't matter. I mean, the dog can be down licking it. Just put it in the mouth, it'll be all right, it'll be okay. They're healthy, they're strong, right? I'm telling the truth, and you know it. And so Joseph is like the 11th, okay? So he's way on down. And his dad has now gotten old. He's more of a grandpa than he is a dad. You know how that is. You spoil them, and then you send them back home. That's why we like grandchildren, okay? If you didn't know that, parents, we spoil them. We send them back to you to take care of. And so Joseph is in that place, and what we find is that his dad gives him this coat of many colors. And we see that Joseph's father has favor on him. And we talk about his brothers, and we say, well, his brothers hated him, you know, and all this stuff he said. And they say, we're going to take you outside, and we're going to, you know, deal with you and all this. And yet, what we find is that even when he goes to see his brothers, and the first thing they say is, they say, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. And then it gets closer, and Reuben says, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. So, and the Bible says that Reuben was going to go back and take him and let him go home. All right? So there's favor even from his brothers, even when they don't mean to. Now, let me just show this to you real quickly. Just because you have favor doesn't mean you're not going to have some tough times. All right? We're going to see that in Joseph's life. Then he goes from there to Potiphar's house. And if you know the story, the scripture says that he has the favor of God on him. Potiphar sees it and says, "You're ruling everything in my house." And then we know except Mrs. Potiphar, right? And Mrs. Potiphar keeps tempting him and, you know, all the stuff that went on there. And then she lies about him. But we see even in Potiphar's house, there's the favor of God on him. Then he's thrown into prison. Now, let me tell you, you go from Potiphar's house to prison, it's like you just keep going down, down, down. And yet we find even in prison, he's got favor. That when the jailer looks at you and says, "Hey, I'm putting all the prisoners in your charge," they trust you. Right? And that's what they did with Joseph. And then finally, and what we're going to look at today, we see Joseph going from the prison to Pharaoh's palace and becoming the co-regent with Pharaoh in ruling all of Egypt. Now, how did he get there? How did that happen? Let's look in Genesis 41. And we're going to just kind of drill down into this a little bit and see what happens in his life. Genesis chapter 41. Now, let me set that up for a minute. There were two guys that wound up in prison, okay? One of them was the king's cupbearer, Pharaoh's cupbearer. The other one was his chief baker. They both have dreams. They get up the next morning. They say, "I don't know what these dreams are." They tell Joseph. Now, remember, he's a dreamer. He says, "I can interpret this. Let me let God help me." And he says to the cupbearer, he says, in 3 days' time, you're going to be restored back to your position. So the baker's feeling pretty good because he had a dream about threes too, about three baskets on his head. He said, "Oh, good, I'm going to," and he looked at him and says, "Hate to tell you, in 3 days, you're going to be hanging by your neck. You're going to die," okay? And scripture says they came to pass. And Joseph, the only thing Joseph said was, "When you get to Pharaoh's house, don't forget me." How many of you know what happened? He forgot him, didn't he? Right? But finally, Pharaoh has a dream, and nobody, none of his wise men can interpret it, and the cupbearer goes, "Oh, I know a guy," okay? So, this is where we're picking up, verse 14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Number one is this, number one thing about favor: favor can deliver you. Favor can deliver you. Now here's the problem for some of us. We think because we had a dream or we got a word. Remember this last series has been on dreaming. Dream again. And so this one's going to just dovetail right in here together with the last series. In your life, you have to understand that you must, if you're going to see the favor of God and if you're going to see things come to pass, is you've got to be patient. Right? Everybody wants it now. Well, I had a dream. I'm 17 years old. I have a dream. Well, it's going to take you somewhere around 15 years before you begin to see the dream come to pass. Okay? Some of you didn't like that. "I want it. I want it now. I got it." But it doesn't happen that way. Okay? And so Joseph has to be patient. He has to be patient to go through all of these things. But what we see about Joseph, not only was he patient, and I don't miss this, not only was he patient, but he continued in faith. All right? He continued to believe what God had shown him as a teenager. Even though it wasn't coming to pass, and even though it seemed like things were getting worse and worse and worse, Joseph is saying inside of himself, "You know what? I believe that God has started something in me, and he's going to bring it to pass." Now, I want to ask you a question today, those of you here and those of you watching. What is it in your life that God has told you that he was going to do for you that you have not seen, and because you didn't see it in a year or 2 years or 5 years, you've said, "I don't think it's going to happen"? Here's what I want to tell you. If God said it was going to happen, the Bible says God is not man that he can lie. And so if he tells you something, what you've got to do is you've got to continue in faith, believing that it is going to come to pass. In fact, what you got to do is, again, remember back to last series, you got to hold on to your dream. Hang on. Listen, don't quit dreaming. Don't quit believing. Don't say, "Well, I tried and it didn't work, and I went through this situation and I went through that problem." No, hang on to your dream. Continue to believe that it's going to come to pass in your life. Let me say this to you, each and every one of us today. Understand that no matter where you are, it's temporary. You may be in a pit, but it's temporary. You may be in Potiphar's house. I hate to tell you, it's temporary. You may be in prison, but it's there's something going to come along and change your life. Life is a journey, and we're all going to go through seasons in our life. And I told somebody recently, I said, too many of us have the mindset of a courtroom. You know, when they pass a sentence and they say, we're giving you 99 years, all right? Well, let me help some of you. Quit thinking of it as a sentence and believe that it's a season. This is a season. This too shall pass. I'm in a season right now. I may be in prison right now, but this is temporary. Somebody needed that. All right, let's keep reading. Look in verse 16. Verse 15, there's where Pharaoh says, well, I want you to tell me this dream. Now, here's what Joseph says. He says, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Here's the second thing. Favor is divinely orchestrated. All right? Favor is divinely orchestrated. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, what I want you to understand today is this, is that if God originates it, he orchestrates it. You get that? If he says, this is what I'm going to do, then the word of God says, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So God says, here's what I'm going to do, and now I'm going to begin to make it come to pass in your life. Now, how do we get to this place as Joseph is? Because Joseph is saying, he says, I don't have the answer, but God does. Now, for him to give that answer, the first thing that he's got to do is he's got to listen to God's voice. All right? Let me talk to some of you. In fact, can I talk to all of you? Okay? We have a tendency to listen to everybody else's voice more than we do to God's voice. Somebody comes along and says, well, man, times are tough. We start going, man, times are tough. Right? Why? Because some goofball on television told me it was. You remember in 2007, 2008, we went through the recession when we didn't know we were going to go through a recession. That's when we started to build this building here at North Campus, you know, almost $4 million process. And it got to that point that everybody was just, man, we're in a recession, we're in a recession. And I preached a whole series of sermons, and here was the title of it. We will not participate in the recession. That's what I preached a series on. We are not going to participate in the recession. Why? Because I'm not going to believe the. I know the economy did things. I got it. But here's what I also know is I need to learn to listen to God's voice. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go through tough times, but if I can listen to God's voice, and that's what Joseph is doing, he's listening to God's voice. And then I've got to allow God's plan to come to pass. See, if Joseph had, I feel like Charles Stanley, listen. If Joseph had not in that moment been willing to give the interpretation to the baker, and I started to say the candlestick maker, to the baker and the cupbearer, then he would never have been able to step into this place because the cupbearer would have never known who he was or what he was. So you've got to allow God's plan to work in your life. And lastly, you've got to stay totally dependent on God. Now, I'm dependent on him. His word says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. He didn't say you can do a few things. He said, without me, you can't do anything. And so I've got to come to that place. And as I said originally, what God originates, he orchestrates. Some of you need to get that. If he says you're going to, then he's going to order it. He's going to make it come to pass in your life. The third thing is this, is that favor produces wisdom. Okay? Favor produces wisdom. Verse 33 through 36 Joseph begins to lay out. Now, what he has done in the preceding verses, and I don't have time to work all of this, what he had done in the preceding verses was he had said, here's the dream. You saw seven fat cows and saw seven skinny cows. Here's what it means. He said, the seven fat cows are the time of great harvest, great growth. We're going to have way more than enough. He said the skinny cows are 7 years that we are going to be in a recession, in a depression, and a famine. Right? And so they got to that point. They said, well, what do we do? And so Joseph starts lining out. He says, now let Pharaoh look for a man who is discerning, who has a, you know, the mind of the Lord, and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. And he goes through all of this stuff in that moment at that time. So he starts laying out wisdom of how to do this. He said, here's how you do it. You take a fifth of the crop every year and you go through. I mean, he just lays it out for him. Now, how many of you know that knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing? How many of you have ever been, okay, the rest of you, I'm going to give you some knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. Let me help you, all right? How many of you have been around people that have a lot of knowledge, but they're dumber than a box of rocks? Right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, they can quote to you the Encyclopedia Britannica, but they are dumber. Am I the only one that know people like that? It's like you just look at them and go, are you that dumb? And you go, yeah, they really are. I mean, they can tell you mathematical formulas for all, and it's like they don't have any good wisdom in their life. Here's what wisdom is. If you're looking for a definition for wisdom, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to everyday life. Okay? How many of you know knowledge is not enough? Right? I'll prove knowledge is not enough. I was at the gas station a couple of days ago, and there's a sign on the gas tank that says, don't use your cell phone. And I see people always using their cell phone. Why? Because they think it's not going to do anything. All right? I see people standing there with a cigarette dangling out of their mouth. And they're getting ready to set their soul on fire or something. Right? So knowledge, I mean, we read it. I turned around, and after I read that sign, I turned around, and on the window of the place I was at, I had a big ad on it for a certain product. And at the bottom of the ad, it said, if you use this product, you have the danger of gum cancer and your teeth will fall out. But people still buying it. Not, why y'all get so quiet, Vaughn? Yeah, I mean, on the side of the pack, it says the Surgeon General has determined that if you pay $83 for this pack of cigarettes, it will shorten your life. That's knowledge. I'm just going to preach the campuses. You guys, I'm going to forget you, all right? Knowledge is not, I've got to be able to take knowledge and apply it to my everyday life to live the life that Jesus Christ has called me to live. So knowledge is not enough. I've got to apply it and bring it into my life. See, wisdom comes to those who first of all desire it, okay? If you don't want wisdom, you're not going to get wisdom. When God showed up to Solomon and said, ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you. Solomon says, Lord, that I could judge your people wisely. And the Lord said, because you've asked for wisdom, not only will I give you that, but I'm going to not only make you the wisest man, but I'm also going to make you the richest man around, okay? Because he desired it. Not only do you need to desire wisdom, you need to ask for it. Okay? Now, let me help you. You have to ask. The book of James says, if any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth generously. Okay? So I need to ask for it. And thirdly, I need to listen for it. And I don't know about you, but I have found that when I listen for it, it comes from some really unlikely sources. Okay? I don't listen to a lot of preachers. I'm a reader. I'm not a listener. My mind works in a different way, so I don't listen. I'm not a podcast kind of guy, whatever. But there's a certain preacher, I'm not going to name him, be real careful here, and I'm going to be even better than I was in the first service. But anyway, I just don't like to watch him. I just don't like to watch him. I'll leave it at that. But I have satellite radio in my car, now I just told off who it was. Anyway, I was flipping through that, and I thought, I'm going to listen to him. And it was like I hit the button, And in about 3 minutes, he hit me right between the eyes with something that I needed for wisdom. See, here's what I want to say to you. In your life, you and I have a tendency not to listen to everybody. And I'm going to tell you, here's what I've learned. I've learned I can learn from just about anybody. And sometimes wisdom comes from some really unlikely sources in your life. See, wisdom comes to those of us who allow life's lessons to make us better, not bitter. We got too many people who, well, listen, if you've lived very long at all, you've got a reason to be bitter. Somebody did you wrong, somebody messed you over, somebody, I got it. But those who say, wait a minute, I refuse to get bitter, I'm going to get better in this process, all right? Let's keep moving. Look in Genesis 41, verse 38, just continues to move there. It says, so Pharaoh asked them, now he's talking to his wise men who are around him. He says, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit of is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You're going to be in charge of my palace. All my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Now get this one. Favor is an exception to the rule. Okay? Look at the story. Joseph is a Hebrew. He should not be put into this position. He has no reason to be there. But favor, because he had a spirit of honor about him. He honored when he's in Potiphar's house, remember, he honors Potiphar. He said, how can I do this against the man who has given me all this? When he's in prison, he honors the master of the prison. And because of that, let me say this to you. Some of you aren't going to like some of this next part because they didn't in the first service. But here's what I know. If you want favor in your life, you've got to learn to honor. All right. The first thing you've got to honor is you've got to honor the gift that God gives you. See, I believe with all of my heart that from 17 years of age that Joseph honors that gift throughout his life. He works with it. He prays about it. He knows that God has given him the ability to interpret dreams for a reason, and he honors that. He doesn't say, oh, that old thing, oh, look, all it's done is got me in trouble. No, he says, this is what God has placed in my life, and he honors it. Secondly, you have to honor your place. Now it's where we're going to get in trouble. You ready? Get ready, get ready. Get ready. You ready? Everybody wants to be the boss. Well, I'm going to be the boss. Well, if you don't honor the boss, if you don't honor the one who got, you say, well, they're horrible, they're mean, they may be full of the devil. But if you don't honor them, how do you think God can promote you? Now, I know that goes against American Western way of thinking. Our deal is we're going to rebel against everybody. And yet the Word of God tells us quite clearly that I need to honor where I'm at. If I'm in Potiphar's house, Joseph said, listen, he's given me everything except you. I'm going to honor him. All right? So he hangs on to that. When he's in prison, he honors where he's at. Too many of us want to leapfrog from way down here to way up here, but we don't give anybody honor. You know what honoring your place does? Honoring your place is what the Scripture says, that you, when you go to work, you don't work for man, you work for God. Don't like it, I know. But if we want to see the blessings of God on our life, then we've got, the Scripture says that we are to honor those who are in authority. Now I'm going to get in trouble. You ready? I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm ready for the emails. Okay, why is it for the last 8 years we could say God lifts up and God takes down? But now we want to change our theology. If God is the one who promotes, then if you prayed for the last guy, you ought to be praying for this guy. Just saying. See, we love to pick and choose. I can't just honor when it feels good. See, I'm your pastor. I'm not your best friend sometimes. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. If you want to get the favor of God, then you've got to honor where it is that God places you. Thirdly, you've got to honor God. If you want favor, you've got to honor God. You've got to give him honor in everything you do. Joseph has been interpreting dreams now for years, but Joseph consistently and constantly says, if God doesn't tell this to me, I'm not going to be able to do it. What do we do? We do it a few times ago. Come on, we get a card. Interpreter of dreams and visions. 1-800. The first 5 minutes are free. After that, it's $112 a minute. Joseph just keeps saying, man, if God doesn't show up, it is going to be a mess. He keeps honoring God. He keeps saying, God's the one who's in charge. Listen, God's power is able to do more in a moment than we can do all the days of our life. Amen. Can you take one more? Look in verse 39. I already read it to you. It's where Pharaoh says, listen, I've been looking around. You the guy, okay? So here's the fifth thing. And this one is life-changing for somebody today. Favor can produce what a lifetime of labor cannot. Just write it down. I'll explain it. Favor can do what a lifetime of labor cannot. Do you realize Joseph could have been the most productive Hebrew boy that there ever was, but he never could have worked hard enough to be the co-regent with Pharaoh? He could have been the guy who is a multi-billionaire, but he would have never, ever been second in command to Pharaoh. Here's what I want to say to some of you. Listen carefully to your pastor today. There are some of us who all we do is that we look at what we can see. And so we look at our job and we look at people who are around us instead of understanding that it is God who is able to show up in our lives and change everything about us. If all you do is look at the job that you have, then you are only going to be able to make this amount of money. Well, don't talk about money. Nobody cares about money. You haven't read the Bible. Solomon says, money answereth all things. All right? I guarantee you care about money. That's why you're going to get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and work 40 or 50 hours. All right? So if you're looking at this, you're never going to see what God is able to do. God says, lift up your eyes. You've got to begin to see in a different dimension. I'll give it to you. Favor comes through obedience. The reason Joseph is promoted is because he's obedient. In every place he's at, he's obedient. If you can't be obedient in the small things, why do you think God will promote you to big things? It's a pretty simple concept, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you another one. Can you take a little more? Favor is your reward for solving a problem. Well, I just don't believe that. And we hear people say, well, they shouldn't make that much money. They're making $100 an hour. Why should they make that much money? Because they're solving $100 an hour problems. See, if you will learn to solve bigger problems, it will promote you. Wow, I can tell I've just whiplashed a bunch of people. It's like, whoa, what did he just say? If you can only handle $10 problems, you're never, ever going to be rewarded for a $100 problem. You say, I don't believe it works that way. I'm glad you said that. Somebody came to me after the first service and said, Pastor, let me share. Because here's what I want to tell you. If you walk in tomorrow and your business has made a mistake of $1 million and you have the solution to it, you'll get promoted. I don't believe that. Okay, let me show you. I said this in the first service. A person came to me after service and they said, you're exactly right. I said, tell me. They said, I found a $100,000+ mistake somebody had made at our business. They said, I caught it, I changed it. They said, I just got an 11% raise. Why? Because they solved a problem. I'll give the last one. I'm going to mess with you in this series, I can see. Favor begins as a seed. You know the scripture says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men heap unto you. I have people talk to me periodically about grace and favor, and they say, you know, I don't know why it never happens to me. Here's my question. Are you ready? Do you ever sow favor? Or do you just always want to receive? Is it, well, I'm looking to get. Wait a minute. Well, I don't have anything. No. The Word of God says, listen, the Word of God says that God gives seed to the sower. Always, without exception, you're going to have seed if you're a sower. And I'm not talking about money. Don't go money. All right? God said he gives seed to the sower. So if you're a sower, you've always got seed. So you start with what you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, let me prove it to you. How many of you believe if God did something, then maybe he's a pretty good example, right? Okay, watch this. God wanted a family, right? God wasn't lonely. God didn't need us to complete him. He just wanted a family. So he creates man and woman and puts them in the garden. But the Word of God says that he knew before he ever did it they were going to mess up. So, here's what the scripture says. Before the foundation of the world, a seed, a lamb, was slain. So God sends his only begotten Son into the world as a seed who dies. Remember what scripture says about seed? That unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it produces a harvest. Jesus came as the seed of the favor of God for you and I. He died for our sins. He spent 3 days in the tomb, and he arose on the third day, and he's ascended upon high, and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. What is God showing us? He is showing us that he has favored us with the seed of his Son, so that you and I can be part of his family and be redeemed from all of our sins and be in relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Now, if that's not favor, I don't know what favor is. And that's what God wants for our lives. He wants us to understand how much favor that he has on us.